Okay, I need to hear you. Okay, that's good, that's good. Good morning. For those of you I've not met yet, my name is Matt Downing. I have the incredible privilege of being the student pastor here at this church, this awesome group of students right here. So I want to thank you guys for letting me be your youth pastor and for still coming to church even when you found out I was preaching. Although your parents probably made you come. But that's okay. I'm used to that. That's good. I'm excited for the opportunity this morning to be able to talk to us all together as a family. And I love getting to speak to teenagers every week. And I know many of you are connected to these teenagers. By the way, I have to just say this because I found this out in the first service. But students and the rest of you guys, today is Grandparents' Day. So if you have not made plans to call or text, maybe you forgot to send a card, guilty. If you got to send a card to your grandparents, you need to do that, okay? Because today is the day, all right? Any grandparents in here? Yes, look at that. All right, everybody, let's say Happy Grandparents' Day. Ready? One, two, three. Happy Grandparents' Day. All right. Well, good to be with you guys this morning. I want to continue in our series that we began last week. We started with a series called Hello, My Name is Awesome. And we talked about that word awesome and how we use that so much. And last week, Daniel did an incredible job of explaining to us that really that is a word that should be reserved for God. Not that we can't use it, because I use it all the time. But we need to just stop and think about what that means, the fact that really there's only one that we can truly be in awe of. But since we're talking about awesome, I thought I would show you something my wife gave to me as a gift last year. It's called the Journal of Awesome. And in this are several things that that would just be considered awesome. And so here's what I want you to do. As you see them, if you agree with this, I want you to say, that's awesome. Okay, a little crowd participation this morning. First one, here we go. Breakfast for dinner. Yes, all right, I agree. What about this one right here? Waking up and realizing it's your day off. Yes, I agree. How about this one? When cats do stupid things. Some of you love the cat videos and posting those. More power to you. Good mail days. You actually get good mail and not just bills, right? All right. Finding something you lost years ago wedged in the couch cushions. That's awesome. All right. What about this? Snagging all the free stuff from hotel rooms. Melody, you said that's awesome, right? Or she loves that one. The first day of the year, you get to wear shorts. Awesome. They told me I couldn't wear shorts this morning, so I didn't. Hold on. We got more, don't we? Was that all of them? I thought we had more. All right. Okay. Saw that one. All right. Once again, I will say that is still awesome. That's still awesome. There's a few more. All right. It went away. Here we go. More. All right. Because I just love some of these, so I had to make sure we get it in there. Completely guessing the right answer on a multiple choice test, students. That's awesome. Yes. Or when someone finds your lost wallet and returns it. Awesome. All right. Talking to little kids about what they want to be when they grow up. That's awesome. That's fun, right? All right. There we go. So a list of awesome things, if you want to check it out, it's called the Journal of Awesome. But we made this point last week that more often than not, we're in awe of the trivial in our life instead of the Trinity. There are things that get us so excited and things that we are so amazed by that when it comes to the things of God, it's really hard for Him sometimes to impress us, which it shouldn't be that way at all, because God is awesome. God is so incredible and so amazing. That really should be a word that we reserve for Him, because He inspires awe within us. How can you look at a sunset in the sky, all the clouds and the light coming through just the right way and not say, wow, God, you did that. You're awesome. The fact that he looks at us and loves us the way that He does, that is awesome. Today I want us to look at the passage that we began to look at last week in Romans chapter 11. And this morning I want to encourage you to have your Bibles ready, because I'm going to give you a lot of scripture this morning, Hopefully you're taking some notes. I have to tell our students all the time, take some notes, not because that anything that I have to say is great, but just because it's good to be able to come back to these things, because we forget so fast what we hear. And it'd be good to have these things to go back to and say, oh yeah, oh yeah. And you'll find out why here in just a little while. But let's look at this passage that we began to look at last week in Romans chapter 11, verses 33 through 36. We'll put those up on the screen for you. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. This is a doxology. We said last week that a doxology is theology in musical form. So Paul is sharing this as a lyric, and he says, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Next part says, who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him all things are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. So last week, Daniel did an incredible job of talking about creation, how God is our creator and sustainer. This morning, I want us to look at the fact that God is our giver. And when we give gifts to someone, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about birthdays or Christmas. Now, wouldn't it be awesome if to express love to someone, you could just put your feelings down on a card and say everything you want to say and it'd be good enough? But it's usually not, because so much of our time at Christmas is spent thinking, I've got to get the perfect gift. I want to get him a good gift. I want to get her a good gift because I want to communicate how much they mean to me. And so we spend all this time and all this effort wondering, is this what they want? Is this good enough? What are they going to think? Are they going to think less of me? And just all of these things. But just stop and realize that we give gifts, not so that people will think that we're good, but we give them just because we love to give gifts. We love to give to our children. We love to give to our spouse. We love to give gifts. We want those things to express our love for them in some small way. And so this morning, as we talk about God giving to us, we have to understand why God even chooses to do that. And it's because of God's goodness. And this morning, we're going to talk, first of all, from the premise that God gives because he is good. That's who he is. That's his nature. So if you're taking notes this morning, first of all, I want to say that God is the source of all that is good. In Psalm 119:68, the psalmist tells us that he says to God, you are good and you do what is good. So the first half of that talks about God's character, God's nature. God is good. We'll talk about the next part of that a little bit later, but God is good. And so he's the source of all that's good. He's the original definition of good. When we think about the word good, we use it in a lot of different ways. Think about it. If you were to look it up, you'd see the adjective good. Obviously, that means to be desired or approved of. But that can refer to anything. This steak is good. Or he's a good friend. Or that was such a good movie. Right? We use that word a lot to show that we desire, we approve of something. But there's another part of the definition, and there's a lot under there if you ever look it up, but there's a lot under there, and the noun for good, it says that which is morally right, or to possess or display moral virtue. So when you look at someone and you say they are a good person, what you're basically saying about them is that they are morally right. They do things that are good. You look at them and say that they're a good person, right? But what we have to realize this morning is our definition of good doesn't even come close to comparing to God's definition of good, because God is the source of all that's good. God was the originator of good. As he created, he looked at his creation when it was done and he said, it is good. Now, that doesn't just mean I did good. I did a good job. What that means is that it was perfect. As he created, it was perfect before the fall, before mankind came in and messed everything up. So God creates this, and it's good. It's morally right. It's perfect, and that's who God is. God is the original definition of good. He is good in and of himself. The Bible defines God's goodness in who he is and in what he does. God alone is the definition of good. Now for us, goodness is an added quality. We have to work at being good, but for God, it's who he is. For us, you gotta get past all the other stuff in our lives. You know, for every good thing we do, there are bad things that we do. And it's like, no matter how hard we try, we are imperfect. And the fact that a good God looks at us and loves us blows my mind. But he does, because he is a good God. The second thing I want to say is that God owes nothing to us, to any of us. We are all absolutely dependent upon God. God owes us nothing. We may think that we're entitled. In fact, in our generation and beyond, we struggle with this sense of entitlement. We think that we deserve to have the very best. Growing up, as a teenager, I wanted the things that a lot of teenagers want. When I turned 16, I wanted to be able to drive. I wanted to be able to have a new car. All my friends got new cars, and for me, I just thought, okay, I'm about to be 16, and I'm ready for this. And mom, dad, what are you going to give to me? And they basically said, here's the deal. We don't have the money to get you a car. They did so much for me, but we just didn't have that kind of money. So my mom said, but what you can have is you can drive my car 2 or 3 days a week to school. Well, our car at the time was a 1984 Cutlass Cruiser station wagon with wood paneling on the sides. And so maroon, and you can just guess that it wasn't the coolest ride when I drove to school. But I was grateful because they didn't have to let me drive the car, but they did. And they saw fit to let me drive that amazing car. But you think about it, as people who feel like we're entitled, imagine if you're a parent, imagine if your teenager came home, and y'all better not do this, by the way, but imagine if your teenager came home and said, Mom, Dad, I like the house, but we need to add on some things. We need to take out a wing here, maybe put in a pool and a hot tub. You know, also the car that we have, Mom, Dad, we need to get the top of the line, you know, SUV, get me a truck, get me something. Or really, you're going to keep feeding me these vegetables? How about pizza? How about steak for dinner every night? Mom, Dad, come on. You would look at them and you would say, you're out of your mind. You're crazy. I don't owe you any of those things. But as parents, you want to give your kids the best because they're your kids, and you love them. And you wish that they would remember that you love them and remember that they're not entitled to these things that they get. They fail to realize what all they've been given. And we did it too when we were teenagers, right? We failed to realize all that we had been given by our parents. And as adults, we struggle still. We struggle to remember the fact that God owes us nothing. But he gives us so much. You saw the movie God's Not Dead With Us. You remember this this statement. You can finish it for me. God is good and all the time. When I first heard that, I thought, wait a second, that's repeating itself. That's repetitive. I don't understand that. And the more I thought about it, and I know it's been around for a long time, but the more I thought about it, the more I thought, okay, the first part of that statement focuses on God's goodness, that no matter when, no matter what, God is always good. But then the next part of that says, and all the time, that's more of a focus on our perspective and our situation and our time, where we have to remember that all the time, God is still good. Even if we don't feel it, even if times are hard, God is still good, and he loves us. And he gives to us out of his goodness, even though we've done nothing to deserve it. Who are we that we should go to God and say, God, you owe me. Come on. No way. God doesn't owe us anything. But the amazing thing about our good God is that he gives generously. So second point I want to encourage you to remember, because God is good, he gives generously. Because he's good, it's in his nature to give. And here's the thing, is that he gives to everyone all of the time. I don't understand why, the way some people live on this earth and how they deny his existence, God still gives to everyone all the time. And let me give you some scripture to back this up here. I want you to notice Psalm 145, 9. And this passage says, Psalm 145, 9. The Lord is good to all. That means everybody, everywhere on the face of this planet, God is good to all. He has compassion on all that he has made. So there's not a single person in this world who hasn't been blessed by God. And then the psalmist goes on to say, in verses 15 through 17, the eyes of all look to you, and you give them food at the proper time. You open your hand, and you satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all of his ways and loving towards all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. Who's included in that? You are. I am. Everyone is. What kind of a God would do that when people deny him, when people deny him with their lifestyles, with their lips? What kind of a God would still say, I'm still going to bless you? Even if you don't believe that I have given you this, I've still given this to you. That is a good God. He looks at humanity with all of our baggage and all of our hang-ups and our junk, and he says, I want to be generous to you. I can't wait to pour out my blessings on you. Not because you deserve it, but because there's something about who I am that loves to give. So God gives to all. He gives generously to everyone all the time. But here's what gets even better. Most of us in this room, as God's children, we understand that God gives to all, but as his children, God gives us way more. God blesses us, and he gives the greatest gift that he can give, the gift of his presence. He gives the gift of his presence to his children. Last Christmas, we got my son Caleb. My son Caleb's right back there. Hi, Caleb. He's like, oh, okay. It's my beautiful wife, Melody, my son Caleb. He is 5 years old, and last Christmas, we got Caleb a bat cave. I'm a Batman fan, and growing up, one of my favorite gifts that I got was a Batcave from my parents. It was the cheapest piece of plastic, but it was something that I loved, and I played with it all the time. And for Christmas, we got Caleb this gift, and it was fun. It was cool getting to give a gift that I'd been given as a kid, and I wanted my son to have that. And to this day, he still plays with that. He still loves playing with that. It gives me joy as a dad to see that there's a gift that I've given to him, even with all the gifts, all the Happy Meal toys that you want one day and then the next day they're junk. With all that stuff, he still plays with this and still loves this. But of all the gifts I could give to Caleb and my son Colin, the greatest gift that I could give is not a bat cave. It's not a cheap Happy Meal toy. The greatest gift of all that I can give is my presence. Rather than give a present, the greatest gift I can give to my son is my presence, my time, the fact that I love him and care about him and give him myself. And our Father God looks at us and he says, I not only want to give you life and breath, because he gives that to all mankind. It's amazing that people don't even acknowledge that or appreciate that. People think that I'm living and breathing because of what I do, because I'm working out, and because I'm keeping myself healthy. You have life and breath because God gave you life and breath. And for us as God's children, God goes even further and says, I want to give you not just life and breath, but I want to give you true life. I want to give you the breath of life. I want to give you my presence, which means I am going to be with you. And I am going to give you myself. I want you to see a passage in Psalm 34:7. Our students looked at this a little bit today, but in Psalm 34:7, David shares that the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Think about that for a minute, because what that's saying is that God doesn't just give protection to his people. He doesn't just say, here you go, take it. But what he says, it says the angel of the Lord. So God himself encamps around those who fear him, and he protects them, and he guards them. Church family, as believers in Christ, we have the Spirit of the living God protecting us and walking with us. The passage goes on to say, taste and see that the Lord is good. Verse 10 says that those who fear and seek the Lord lack no good thing. Whatever our needs, physical, emotional, spiritual, our Father in heaven responds and he provides. But he doesn't just provide what we need, he gives of himself to us. And that is awesome. What kind of a God would do that? An awesome God, a good God, a generous God. The amazing thing about God's presence, yes, he gives us life and breath. He gives that to all creation, but he gives the gift of his presence. And with that comes 1,000 other things. And this morning, one of the reasons I want you to take notes is because I want you to write some of these down. This week, when you're tempted to get discouraged or frustrated, you can go back and read some of these things. But God gives us wisdom. To his children, God gives wisdom. James 1:5, Proverbs 2:6. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. He also gives us victory. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. God gives us strength. Psalm 29:11, the Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7 talks about the peace that God gives when we come to him with our problems, our worries, our concerns. I love that passage. But God also promises to give us grace and glory. Psalm 84:11. James 4, 6 and Romans 5:2 talk about this. Romans 5:2 says, we have gained access into God's grace, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. But he also gives us encouragement, perseverance. James 1 tells us to consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. He gives us a heart to know him, Jeremiah 24:7. He gives us rest from sorrow. Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He gives us a future and hope, Jeremiah 29:11. He gives us what is good, Psalm 85:12. Again, I'm giving these to you so that later this week when you're in your time with the Lord, you can go back to these things and say, wow, God, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for all of these things that you've given to me. You have blessed me beyond measure. Thank you for giving me what is good. Thank you for giving me the desires of my heart, Psalm 37:4. God also gives us, we definitely need this, we need forgiveness. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He freely gives all things. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. I'm going to come back to that verse in a minute. But the greatest gift of all that he's given to us is the gift of his Son. The gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. Verse that most of us know. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Why would God give his Son for humanity when humanity is an ungrateful, selfish people? Because he loves us, because he is good, because he is generous. And because of that goodness and that generosity, God gave his Son. In Romans 8:32, Paul says this of God, he did not even spare his own Son. He's helping us to understand that God is so good, he didn't even hold back his own Son. He offered him up for us all. And if he did that, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? So we look at this and we're just like, wow, God, you've given us all of these things. How can we not be a grateful people? I'm going to show you a video. This video explains the power of God and the gift of God in his presence. Watch this. God looks at us with all the junk in our lives, and he wants to give us life. You know, we talk about, I gave God my life. I did God a favor. I gave God my life. Give me a break. God gave us life. He gave us physical life. He gives us life every day, but through the power of his Son, he's given us eternal life, a brand new life, so that we can truly experience all that this life has to offer. And as children of this good, generous, awesome God, God expects something of us. He wants us to be like him. For my son, I would hope that as we teach him and help him to grow, that he would then model those things for his children, because my parents did that for me. And now, as I'm doing that for my son, I'm reflecting the fact that my mother and father gave so much to me. As children of the giver God, as children of the awesome God who gives us, how can we not reflect our Father? How can we not then realize what God has done and be so thankful to say, God, you have given me all of these things. You've given me forgiveness. You've given me peace. You've given me strength. You've given me power. You've given me hope. You've given me a future. How can we not be grateful? How can we not give back? I heard a preacher explain it this way. Our God is not a God who holds on to his gifts and says, these are mine. I'm not giving them up. I'm holding on to them. These are my gifts. I hear that word a lot in my house. This is mine. But God is not like that. God has gifts, and God opens his hand and says, these are my gifts, and I want to give them to you. I want to share them with you. Not because of anything you've done to deserve them, but because I'm a good God. I love you, and I want to bless you. So as his children, how can we then hold on to the things that God has given to us and say, no, I'm not giving this up. This is mine. I'm talking about our time. I'm talking about our talents. I'm talking about our treasure. The things that we've been given by God as gifts, we hold on to them and seem to think, I can't let go of this. I don't have time. I don't have money. I don't want to, I'm too embarrassed to do that, or no one's gonna want me to do that. And we hold on to the things that God has given to us, when God is a God who opens his hand and he asks us to do the same. And when we come to Jesus and we say, God, I want to come to you, and I want to acknowledge all that you've done for me, he invites us to be on mission with him. He invites us to take these things that we've been given and to share them with the world around us. Pastor shared about that a couple of weeks ago, how we need to be giving and givers of the things that God has given to us. Before we gave God anything, God gave us everything. Before we came to God with what little we have, God had already given us so much of what he had. And he gives to us out of his love, and he asks us to share the gifts that he's given to us with others. What does he ask in return? He asks for our sin. He asks for us to come and to give him our sin and to say, God, I am a sinner. I am in need of a Savior. And when we do that, he gives us his salvation. He gives us his presence. And with that comes all that we just talked about. We give God our sin. We give him what little we have, which is not much. Honestly, when you think about it, what do we have to give to God? God just wants us. And when we do that, when we give to God, he gives us salvation. He gives us eternal life. He gives us power. He gives us strength. He gives us all those things that come with that amazing gift. This morning, maybe that's really hard for you to acknowledge. Maybe you're looking at your life through the lenses of your situation. Maybe things are really difficult for you right now. Things at home are not good. Things at work are not good. And it is hard to look at life and to say life is good, because life doesn't feel good sometimes. But we start with the premise that God is good, and God is the giver of life. And the amazing thing about God is that even though when things are not good in our life, good God, giver God comes and says, let me take that thing that you're going through and let me work that for good. I love that. Romans 8:28 tells us that. I love that promise that our good God can turn bad things into good. That doesn't make it fun at the moment. That doesn't cause us to go, all right, I'm going through hard times, but I'm so thankful. It's hard to do that, right? But when we look at it and say, God, you are good. Even though things are bad, you are good. Even though things are hard, you are faithful. Or maybe you've been a Christian so long that you hear these things and it's just like, yeah, so what? We're not impressed by the fact that God, who's so awesome, that he loves us and that he gives us freely all things, that every good and perfect gift that we have is from him. We take those things for granted. We forget about those things. We fail to acknowledge him. This morning, here in just a moment, as we go into our invitation, I want to invite you this morning. First of all, if you are not a believer, I want to just challenge you to remember that you are here because of God, and God has been gracious to allow you to be here to this point. But God is patient. Scripture tells us that God is patient because he wants people to come to repentance. And this morning, your first step is to say, God, you are good, and I acknowledge that, and I need that, and I want to invite you, Lord, to come and make a miracle of the mess that I am. God, I invite you to come this morning and to do your work in my life. Things are not good right now, but Lord, you are. Or maybe this morning, you just need to come and you need to just thank God, spend some time getting at the altar and saying, God, I am so guilty of taking your gifts for granted. I'm so guilty of taking the things that you've given to me for granted. I haven't used the gifts you've given to me. I've held on to things that aren't mine. You gave me all these things, and yet I refuse to do what you've called me to do. I refuse to acknowledge you. And maybe you need to just repent of that this morning and say, God, forgive me for my unbelief. Forgive me for my ingratitude. God, I confess that to you this morning. So this morning, whether you need to come and you need to turn your life over to Jesus Christ, and it begins with calling out to God and saying, God, you are good and I am not. Take what little I have to offer, Lord, and I invite you. I ask you to take my sin and I invite you to give me your salvation, Lord. I ask you to give me your salvation. I need it. I'm so desperate for it, God. I've made a mess of my life. So whether you need to come this morning and talk to one of our pastors, give your life to Jesus Christ for the first time, or whether you just need to say, I have strayed from God, I've lived a life that is in denial of God, I'm not grateful for the things that he's given to me, and I'm tired of that. I want to acknowledge that God is good and generous, and I want to live knowing. I want to live knowing that and realizing that. And I want to be able to freely give as he has freely given to me. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is a good God. Our God is a patient God. Our God is a loving, faithful God. And this morning, your awesome God calls out to you. He invites you to come. He invites you to cry out to him. He invites you to acknowledge the fact that he has given you everything that you have. So this morning, every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to ask you, church family, where are you at today? Where's your heart at? Have you grown bored? Have you grown tired of the things of God? Have you been doing this Christian thing for so long that you're on autopilot right now? Hopefully this morning has been a little bit of a wake-up call to you to realize that you have been given everything. And it is time to be grateful and to acknowledge the fact that awesome God has blessed you beyond what you and I deserve. Who should give to God that God should repay him? We owe God everything. God owes us nothing, but because of his love for us, he gives freely. And he invites you this morning to receive the gifts that he offers. Father, in this time we come to you and we thank you, Lord, for being so awesome, for being so generous, for being so good. Forgiving to us, we know that we don't deserve it. Lord, even if you never gave us another good thing in our life, you would still be a good God. But God, you're not like that. you continue to give and continue to bless us. So, Lord, open our eyes this morning, our hearts to realize, Lord, that we can be an ungrateful people. Thank you for all that you've given us. Thank you for life. Thank you for breath. But thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, your presence, which works in us and through us. Father, this morning I pray for this church family. Lord, we pray for those who don't know you. We pray for those who do know you, but just need to spend some time confessing that we have been ungrateful, that we have taken you for granted. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being so generous and so good. God, take what little we have right now, and Lord, show us how good, how awesome you really are.